Here is the former owner of the Kings, former owner of the Argonauts as well. Some local content here. I believe he's been on the show before. I don't think I've ever interviewed him before, though. On the 30th anniversary of the Wayne Gretzky trade, here is Bruce McNall. How you doing, Bruce?
Fine, thank you. Well,
yeah, thank you for doing this. What does this date mean to you?
Yeah, well, it's quite a memory, that's for sure. What it means to me mainly is being on the phone a lot. Otherwise, it's a great day. You know, it's a great memory, and you know, I was thrilled to be able to be a part of it all. And it was something that I think anyway helped to bring hockey to more of the southern states and more relevant to the United States in general. So I'm proud of being a part of that.
Well, Steve categorized it as Gretzky was sold to the LA Kings. Is that how you see it? Do you take issue with that definition or what?
No, he's pretty much right. I don't think, in today's world, it would never be able to happen because it was $15 million in cash was the first issue. Now, there were, the players involved and the draft picks involved as well because it had to appear to be a somewhat of a trade. But, I would agree.
So, Bruce, what was your purpose in? I know that Vancouver was involved. I think Detroit at one time was involved. What was your purpose in bringing him to L.A., and what did you attempt to create?
Yeah, the other cities, really weren't too much involved at the time because it was a case where they, after the fact, kind of, what about this? What happened with me at the time was simply that I thought, I would go to the games when I was young, and I guess probably one or two, there's nobody. And what about a team?
Okay, we got to get him on a better line. We'll see if he can get into a better cell reception or on a landline. That was falling off a cliff pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's too bad.
It's too bad because he's an engaging guy, charismatic guy. We'll get him back.
The time Peter Pocklington was the owner of the Edmonton Oilers, and Peter Pocklington had some financial issues. And so this trade took care of some of the financial issues that Peter Pocklington needed, and he stuck with what was left of the core of the Oilers through the 90 Stanley Cup.
Doesn't that get forgotten, though, that they still won without Gretzky? Like, I find like that is a very significant accomplishment that I get the sense is completely overlooked.
They won without Gretzky. They won without Grant Fuhr. Bill Ranford was the goalie. And I believe Paul Coffey by that time had been traded. So that was a very surprising win. People weren't expecting that 90 team to win the cup. And Bill Ranford played extraordinarily well in goal. And I think that's, people look at the Rangers and the 94 championship with Mark Messier. I think that's a crowning achievement of some kind because it was New York and the Rangers were in that fleet. But I think the 1990 Stanley Cup win by that team with Messier, without Gretzky, and without Fuhr, and without Coffey.
Right.
I think Fuhr was on the team, but not healthy.
That's a pretty big accomplishment.
Yeah, one of the greatest.
But because it's post-Gretzky, people are like, nah, whatever. Who cares?
And Gretzky only had one real good playoff run with the LA Kings.
And we all know which one it was.
Yeah, 93. Yeah. And
high stick in game six.
Well, the Marty McSorley stick measurement in game one or two of that final,
yeah,
which changed the whole whole complexion of the final.
I think we have Bruce McNall back on. Do we have you, Bruce?
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what happened there, but I'm back.
Okay, all good. And Steve was asking you about the significance of Gretzky in not only Southern California, but how big of a factor do you think that trade played in the expansion of the NHL in the southern markets to begin with?
Yeah, I think when I got Wayne and I both just thought it was to make L.A. relevant for the sport and improve the team. But very quickly thereafter, when we saw the impact that it was having, that's when I thought, well, let's drag Wayne all over the country and see if we get some interest. And we'd sell at every place we went and sort of creating that interest. And obviously Wayne is, very much, I think, the part of the reason that we do have the teams we have. Certainly when I was chairman of the league and I was running around trying to get expansion teams, both the Ducks and Florida, for example, I think if without Wayne, I doubt there would be any interest whatsoever. So I think it was, you know, something we hadn't planned on, but it worked out great.
So who called who first? Did you call Peter Pocklington first, or did he call you first?
I would see Peter at the meetings all the time. I always bug him about it. I would always say, "Hey, how about Gretzky?" He'd laugh at me. So he'd give me the whole team, and you know, I wouldn't trade for Gretzky, and I didn't blame him. So, and then finally in June of '88, he called me, and he said, "Hey, if you're still interested, we could talk. But first of all, I want $15 million cash, and then I want some players and draft picks and so forth." And I said, "Okay, done. Let's do it." So I was over-enthusiastic, probably, but I wanted to jump on as fast as I could.
Did he believe you? Like, was there any more negotiation? Did he think maybe I should ask for $30 million or what?
No, there was no negotiation on the money. The amount of money was the same $15 million U.S. from day one. There was no change to that at all. Then he asked me to speak to Glenn Sather, and Sather was furious, mainly at Pocklington. Wouldn't talk to me about it. This is ridiculous. I'm not going to do it. And finally, he kind of had to come along a little bit, but they wanted Robitaille, and I didn't want that to happen, so we went back and forth. And then when Wayne finally realized it was going to happen, he sort of became my undercover general manager and suggested, "Hey, we got to get Marty with this and Krusialinski, and how about let's take the three first-round draft picks we're giving them and stagger them every other year." So he was very much involved at that time to figure out what he thought would be the best as well.
So Los Angeles, in some ways, is Toronto, or maybe Toronto's like Los Angeles. It's a star-driven market, and it's a place where people want to go and feel like they're part of something big.
Right.
How much did the L.A. Kings fan base change when Wayne Gretzky came to Los Angeles?
Well, I mean, it went from, there were a couple of stars that liked the game. I mean, Alan Thicke would go to the games and John Candy occasionally. But it became, after that, it became a zoo. I mean, I couldn't manage all the stars wanting to come. Some bought tickets and had them forever, like Tom Hanks and so forth. But, you know, all of a sudden, I've got every Hollywood star in the world looking to come. Luckily enough, most of the agencies would go and buy seats as best they could. And they, those that they couldn't accommodate, I did, and it became a place to be seen and a place to it just changed the whole dynamic of the whole. It became a place to go, kind of like the Laker games were during the Magic Johnson era.
We're chatting with Bruce McNall on the 30th anniversary of the Wayne Gretzky trade. I've always been intrigued by how Hollywood works. Like when you say these superstars wanted to come to the game, you didn't directly talk to them, or would you always go through the agents because you knew the agents had to pay?
No, they sometimes they didn't. If I could accommodate them somehow, I tried my best. I was limited in seating, but they could sit, in the box upstairs with me, which is not a great place. Or occasionally I had my own eye seats. I would give those to those guys. I would talk to them directly. For the most part, I would say 90% of them was always directly. Although if there were people I didn't know, then their agents would call and we'd go from there. But usually when they came to the games after that, they would call me directly.
We all know Pocklington was a villain immediately in Edmonton, and he still is. That name rings out in Edmonton today. But what about yourself? I mean, are you a hated figure in Edmonton? What was the reception like
back? What's surprising is right after the trade, when we played up there, I would go there, and actually the fans of Edmonton were great to me. They didn't like Peter at all, but I think from their standpoint, they thought, wow, if I could have done that, no matter where we live, it would be, who wouldn't? And so I think that, and the fact that they knew I was taking care of Wayne in a way that wasn't probably very much possible down up at Edmonton at that time. So I think they were very good to me at all times.
In Toronto, there are great regrets about the 1993 series with the LA Kings, and I'm sure in LA and in your mind, there are great regrets about the Stanley Cup final that year. What are your memories of the 93 final, and how much has it bugged you over the years that you didn't win?
Well, it was such a great series with Toronto, and I remember in game seven in Toronto, we were not exactly favored, to say the least, and Dougie Gilmore was having a great series, and I was down the locker rooms, kind of pacing back and forth, nervous, and I remember Wayne came over to me and said, what's the matter? And I said, well, Wayne, I'm nervous as hell. He said, if you forgot who I am, just relax. I got this. And he went out and got five points. And we won that series. So it was an incredible moment for me. And unfortunate that we lost the series, like you said. And we won the first game in Montreal, the second game that the Marty Sick incident happened. But frankly, as Wayne says, if it wasn't for Marty, we wouldn't have gotten that far anyway. So there's certainly no blame on Marty for that.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, Bruce. If it wasn't for Kerry Fraser, you wouldn't be that far. I mean, I think most people in Toronto know that was a high stick in Game 6. I mean, did you leave that rink thinking, wow, I owe Kerry Fraser a lot of money here, or some sort of adulation, because he got you guys to the Cup Final. We all know it, Bruce.
Oh, come on now. He is in our Hall of Fame, actually, in L.A.
But he should be.
A lot of these games are won and lost by calls like that. You know, that call potentially, the call with Marty is another one. So it happens. Just keep playing the game and hope things fall your way, I guess.
In this market, they hope one day that Austin Matthews of Scottsdale, Arizona, can carry the Stanley Cup on the ice at the Air Canada Center. And I wonder, were it not for Wayne Gretzky and expansion into markets that did not seem like traditional hockey markets, would we have an Austin Matthews today? Would we have a Shane Gostisbehere out of Florida? Would we have so many players out of California in the NHL? How much an impact did Wayne Gretzky have at that?
Well, I think he was everything. I doubt that you'd have any of the players that you mentioned if it wasn't for Wayne. I mean, I've talked to them before, and you know, like Austin Matthews, and he said, you know, hey, my dad took me to the, you know, was all excited. He would go to the games, and you know, that's what got him excited about the sport in the first place, which led Austin to go ahead and, you know, get into that as well. So I think without question there was a, you know, it's a huge, huge thing that Wayne did that got the interest nationally, and therefore added players and cities that didn't know much about it, and I think it was a really cool for everybody that way.
Really great catching up with you. Thank you for looking back on that big date 30 years ago, and I'm sure in another year, probably a year to the date, we'll probably call you back.
You got it, anytime.
All right, there's Bruce McNall, the former owner of the Kings and an architect in the Gretzky trade 30 years ago today.